about you gotta put it in
perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kyle Fronten started a petition after realizing the plural of phoenix is phoenuses, which sounds pretty similar to a part of the male anatomy.
Okay, so we have a new sponsor, Barbara's Beauty Salon and Pig Slaughter.
Come on down to Barbara's Beauty Salon and Pig Slaughter. Go hog wild for a $12 cut and curl. Tell them Tig sent you and we'll throw in a free ham and mayo sandwich. I mean, how desperate are we for sponsors?
You know, they were actually a pretty big get. People love that place.
And now.
No one informed me that this program was happening today, so I didn't prepare any words.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 4th of January.
Hey, kids.
Hey.
Hey, you ready for the bomb cyclone?
It's funny you should bring that up, Allie.
Oh.
Yes, Bean.
He has bomb cyclone
fever. Sure does.
I'm near the end of my life, as you guys know. So I
says the healthiest man alive.
So it's not uncommon to look back and take stock of the choices that you made, and you know you get to a certain point where you realize, well, this is my lot in life, and this is the career that I've chosen, and this is the hill I'm going to die on. But in a different scenario, in an alternate universe where I had gone in a different direction, I think I would have enjoyed being a weatherman.
Okay.
I love maps.
You do love maps,
right?
More than
anyone.
And
I love the weather. I love the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how fun would that be to be a weatherman, right? But then something like the bomb cyclone comes along. Do you know what it is, Kevin?
No.
Okay, great, because neither do I.
Okay.
And I've been trying to figure it out. Here's the definition of the bomb cyclone per Wikipedia.
I thought that was just a creative nickname that they had given it.
So did I.
Okay.
It is kind of, it's more officially known as a bombogenesis, but here's the paragraph.
Oh, that I know about.
Here's the paragraph that gets you started if you start looking into the bomb cyclone. Explosive cyclogenesis, also referred to as a weather bomb, a meteorological bomb, explosive development, or bombogenesis, refers in a strict sense to a rapidly deepening extratropical cyclonic low pressure area. To enter this category, the central pressure of a depression at 60 degrees latitude is required to decrease by 24 MB, and then in parentheses, HPA, or more in 24 hours.
I always thought it was 23 MB.
Did you? You were following that.
Yeah.
See, I was out, but you were following.
Yeah.
Thinking,
and I realized, wow, I haven't been thinking straight the whole time.
Right.
I look at that sentence and I go, there's no way I ever could have been a weatherman because it's you got to be smart, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's too much science involved.
But, Bean, I will say this, though. That guy does a one-time weather forecast, right? So you have all day to try and figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could learn enough to fake it, I guess. But being a meteorologist, I think, involves a lot of math and a lot of science and a lot of things that maybe I'm not very good at.
Just not love of maps. Mm-hmm. That's not enough?
It's not enough. And I still don't. And I watched a lot of news yesterday, and I saw them talking about the bombogenesis. I still don't get what the number is that's dropping and why that makes – is the gist, Allie, that it's creating a great deal of wind on top of snow? Is that what it is?
That it's basically a really strong nor'easter with heavier winds. Like my parents live in Maine.
Okay.
They're expecting at least today through Friday morning 18 inches of snow and 60 mile per hour winds. So you're now thinking of those wind drifts of – 7 feet tall.
Which are now frozen.
Oh, well.
I would assume nice
they've
powdered snow.
They've been having some frigid temps the last 2 weeks. So I think it's mostly snow, heavy winds, and then those wind drifts that are just going to be a problem.
That makes sense because that's the only thing that can make that kind of snowfall worse is if it's also blowing like crazy.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't go outside in that, right?
Oh, no.
You couldn't be able to see in front of your face to walk.
How that one goes. goes.
It's been a long time since we've seen this much totally frigid weather across the United States, across the entire United States, with the exception of the little tiny edges along the bottom.
I'm sure that all of you follow my Twitter very closely,
right?
As it's the most important Twitter of all time.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the guy that was had gotten in an accident, and then there were other cars coming in, and they would hit this black ice that no one could see, and they would just go. There was a 30-car pileup.
Oh, terrifying.
And he was just doing play-by-play. All right, here comes another one. And the guy would just – they would slide sideways into another car, and it just was one – it was so slow. One after another, they just demolished each other.
I saw that on the news, and even as you were approaching that spot, there was no indication that it was going to happen.
Right, and you couldn't see the 30 cars on the other side that you were going to just run into.
Yeah, it's no bueno, you guys.
Is that why we live here?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, it is. Some people do, for sure.
I'm getting it now.
Weather.
Yes, okay. We do.
I was in a friend's car during an ice storm in Washington, D.C. years ago, and we were crossing the George Washington Bridge, which, if I remember correctly, takes you from Virginia into the district. And it was a big, wide bridge. Unfortunately, there weren't a lot of cars out because the conditions were so bad. And we just started sliding. And it seemed like my life flashed in front of me. It seemed like it took an hour to hit the other side of the bridge. But we just went across all four lanes of traffic in that car, and there's just nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, you try, like, brake hard. That doesn't work because you slip. Brake soft. That still doesn't work because you're slipping. Turn the wheel. Nothing works.
Nothing works. You just are sitting there like you're in a spacecraft, and it's out of your control. And at some point, you know you're going to hit that wall on the other side, and you just have to kind of brace yourself for it.
But at least you're wearing diapers.
Right?
What?
Okay. I don't know. Because astronauts.
Is
the thing there. So.
It was
So what I'm saying here is no bueno.
No bueno, it's going to be a rough go in things for that eastern seaboard.
And that's why I live in Southern California.
Yeah.
They should call it the bomb diggity. I think it'd be popular if they called it the bomb diggity.
Now I think you should be a weatherman.
Agreed.
Because if you got on and started talking about the bomb diggity,
I mean,
I'd watch that.
Who can get angry at the bomb diggity?
Not me.
People would be like, that's so awesome that we're getting the bomb diggity.
Like, I totaled my car, but with a bomb diggity.
Right? Is that from the bomb diggity of 2018? Hell yeah, it is. The best.
I like it. I'm in. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That's too much thinking for me.
Omar, before the holiday, decided he was going to tell us what he was going to give his wife, Cassie, for Christmas. And I think to a person, every single person here said, hey, maybe bad idea.
Yeah.
We
tried to save his marriage. We said, look, this seems like a good idea to you. We're telling you how it is going to be received on the other end. Don't do it.
Now, this might surprise you, but not everyone does what we say.
Mm-hmm.
So he... full steam ahead, gave her the gift, and she didn't appreciate it much.
Mm-mm.
And
we're
going to bring him in. We're going to let him tell us that we were right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That feels good.
Yeah. Can't wait for that. Also on the program today, we're going to talk to Jim Rome. A lot going on in sports with the new head coach for the Raiders, with Mike Tyson growing weed, with the Rams, for God's sakes, playing in the playoffs.
No, it's two local quarterbacks saying, hey, I want to get money.
USC, UCLA, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Drew's on the show today. Is there such a thing as a man flu that's worse than the same flu that a woman has?
It's worse for us, yes. Because you guys won't stop complaining. Oh, I got a chills and a fever. Oh, yeah, that's
because
a flu. Suck
worse.
It up.
Because it's worse on men. There was also a report that came out before the holiday, and I don't know if you saw this, but it cracked me up, that Daryl Strawberry, during his heyday, was, during a game, having sex.
Sex addict.
He's a sex addict, yes, and a drug addict and everything else. And now he's talking about how, in the middle of a game, in between innings.
No.
Yes. He would go back. There would be a little party arranged, and he would make things happen.
In the dugout.
No, not in the dugout. I think he would go someplace else in the stadium, wherever. I don't know. He had access everywhere, I assume.
Oh, my gosh.
And in between innings.
Oh, man.
Right?
Oh.
And that batting average was really high.
It was really
high. That's really good. So that's crazy, right? And is there any other sport in which you could have sex during the game?
I mean, I think
the answer is no.
Okay.
Bean, did you have something?
Any other game.
I mean, well, maybe. I was going to say, any sport that you're not required to be out on the field or in view for the entirety of the game. Like, if you can leave to go, like baseball players, for instance, they leave the dugout to go into the locker room to to use the bathroom during a game, for instance.
Well, now it's making me question what happens in that tent during football games.
Right?
When they duck in there, what's right. going on?
I'll take
Is it just
a,
like
a
hey, little blowy something? What's happening in there?
Right?
Right?
And also on the program today, what's up with Florida? Bean's going to tell us what's up with Florida as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. You guys, this year is just flying by. Remember we were giving away tickets for the Killers last year, and we said February 1st, and it just seemed like a year from now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty close right now.
Is it?
It's like 3 weeks, yeah.
Giving away some tickets for the sold-out Killers show at Staples Center February 1st or 2nd. Your chance to win is coming up.
5:53, Thursday morning. Time to find out what's happening. Here's Allie.
Did you guys know about WeHo Jesus?
I just found out about WeHo Jesus this morning. That sounds like sad news for people.
It is really sad news. If you saw a man that looked a heck of a lot like Jesus walking around Hollywood, he was just a mainstay for decades. You'd take pictures with him.
That's
you'd
the thing.
Chat with him.
I knew of him, but I had never met him or taken pictures with. And then Stryker started posting stuff. And Nicole did. And I was like, wow.
He's everywhere. His name was Kevin Short, and he went by Kevin Lee Light. On Twitter, died. He's 57. He was 57 years old, but he had a brief hospitalization and passed away on December 13th. Pulmonary issues, but people were finding out yesterday. And people were coming out of the woodwork posting about this guy. And
I'm not meaning to insult him, but was he a homeless guy?
No.
Oh, he wasn't.
No.
So he was just all around Hollywood being...
There were different rumors about him that he was a manager of an apartment building, that he did all... I don't know if anyone truly knows the real story, because it was kind of just cool thinking of him as WeHo Jesus.
Jesus,
exactly. But he was the mainstay at the Comedy Store.
Oh.
You could always find him there, and comics loved him. And they started coming out in full force last night. And I loved this from Mark Ellis. He said, when I first met Kevin Lee Light, I thought he was some weird guy dressed as Jesus. After knowing him at our shared home, the Comedy Store, for over a decade, I discovered he was a sweet, kind-hearted, genuine soul who loved to laugh and dressed as Jesus. Which is just, that's amazing. He's a great, kind, lovely man. Dressed like Jesus.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus,
right.
It is true.
Jesus.
Yeah, so rest in peace to WeHo Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
All righty. That is it. Yeah. Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons,
yes.
who might be one of the nicest guys in music.
Agreed.
Is going to be kind of his own little movie star.
Oh.
Yes. The Imagine Dragons frontman, Dan Reynolds, is the subject of a new documentary film, Believer. It's going to have a world premiere later this month at Sundance Film Festival, and then it's going to debut this summer on HBO.
And what is it?
Well, here's the thing.
Story of the band?
And I am into watching this. It's going to chronicle him exploring his Mormon faith and how the church treats members of the LGBTQ community.
Oh.
Yeah, it's also going to focus on the suicide rate in the community. It's just skyrocketed in the last decade. And it follows him. I don't know if you knew about this, but he organized the first ever. It was called the Love Loud Festival in Orem, Utah. And it benefited gay rights organizations, Trevor Project, GLAAD, among others. But 20,000 people came to this first time festival. And I don't know if you know much about Utah.
Wow. Yeah.
But it may not seem to most from the outside as the most accepting of gays, but things are changing in
Is
a
that
big
right?
way, and changing in a big way in Utah, and it's going to explore how his faith, kind of how he had to weave in and out and figure out what his place was there, and how he could make things better for the LGBTQ community. So,
do they explain Thunder in the documentary at all?
They explain Thunder as a song that we will play 7 more times this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Does he explain Bomb Diggity?
He doesn't
okay.
In the film, no. Okay. But famed composer Hans Zimmer scored the movie.
Wow.
You kidding me? Yeah.
We should get Dan on and talk about it.
100%. Remember at Weenie Roast where he got really choked up and emotional talking about people online and social media and how it's just, it's bad for you. And we need to be nicer to each other. That's the first time I really saw the heart of that man. Because he was on stage after he had just drummed the heck out of something. And was just getting choked up talking about how kids shouldn't have to deal with this. They shouldn't have to deal with going online and being told to kill yourself. And what a guy.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Sounds fantastic. Let's get him
on. I love you, Dan Reynolds. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about the top-selling digital tunes of 2017,
okay,
as well as the top-selling albums for 2017. I'm going to see how many of these you own, Kevin.
Okay.
Because I think...
One?
I think four.
Four, okay.
I think four.
Hey, that's pretty good for
me. That's pretty good,
yeah,
right?
I'm on it.
It is pretty good stuff. We're going to talk about that and maybe a little bit about what this trend is called raw water.
Oh, I don't like that.
I don't know if I do either. Hey, let's talk about some birthdays today. We've got actress June Diane Raphael, who I've mentioned to her husband when he comes in, Paul Scheer, that she's the best part of him.
Yeah, you won't stop telling him that.
I love her so
much.
Maybe
he's starting to feel bad.
He didn't love it.
Right.
I'm like, but really, Grace and Frankie, how great is that show? He's like, I get it. I know. Actor Dave Foley, it's his birthday as well. And R.E.M. singer Michael Stipe. And that's what's happening.
We mentioned yesterday the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival is happening, and the lineup came out. Friday, of course, is the weekend. St. Vincent, The War on Drugs, The Neighborhood, Bleachers, Greta Van Fleet, and more. Saturday, of course, has Beyonce. Sunday has Eminem, Perfect Circle, Nothing But Thieves. And tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. Tomorrow at noon. So if you want to buy tickets for Coachella, that is when you can buy them.
A lot of people on social media yesterday were blaming you for the lineup this year, Kevin. I wasn't
blaming
sure
me.
How, I wasn't sure how that got started. Hey, tell Kevin to put more rock on the bill.
Honestly.
Job. Man, if I booked that, it would be a great festival, right?
It
Who's with me?
Would.
they don't ask me my opinion?
No.
Oh, really?
On any topic?
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure we found out you booked Coachella.
I wish that I had that kind of power.
I did wonder where that was coming from, but it was more than one person who suggested it was you.
I think from the old rumor that I broke up Rage Against the Machine, which is, of course, also insanely stupid.
And a dick move.
No, but stupid. Yeah. It's a dumb, move. False rumor.
Were you,
that was fake news.
Were you the one that got your son, though, to play? Was that...
It's not my son.
Easy way, like, hey, he's my kid, Eminem will play.
He's got a new album out, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So I said, yeah, go ahead, book him. What?
Book my kid.
All right. Daryl Strawberry is a name that many of our listeners will certainly know. He's a superstar, won World Series with the Mets and with the Yankees. He's actually from Los Angeles, if I remember correctly. I think he was Crenshaw High, if I remember correctly. But he had a tremendous career, and a lot of people thought as great as it was, he missed out on some opportunities to be even better because he was a drug addict, and he was suspended multiple times. I don't remember how many times, but it was like you were never surprised when Daryl Strawberry turned up with a positive drug
test.
This
is mostly 1980s,
right? In the 80s, okay. Yeah, exactly, yeah. But he played for a long time,
played
over
15 Played for the
Dodgers,
played for the Giants, played for the Yankees, like Bean said.
Yeah.
And had a sex addiction, and we've talked many times on this show about different sports and the pacing of those sports. We've talked about the NBA, we've talked about hockey, which I find the best, fastest pacing. We've talked about baseball, which can be... very slow.
Okay.
And it can also be incredibly exciting as the tension builds on what will happen the next pitch.
Game 5 or Game 6 of the World Series with the Dodgers? Fantastic.
Love
it. Was like 25-24, I think, at the end of that game. That was an amazing game. Most games are pretty dull because, let's face it, it does move at a very slow pace. Even if you like it, you have to admit the pace is slow.
Yeah.
Okay. So Daryl Strawberry, who used to have a drug problem and he was addicted to sex, he was talking to Dr. Oz, and he has apparently pretty much turned his life around and has kicked pretty much all of his addictions. But he did admit that during a baseball game, in the middle of it, between innings, he would have sex. How crazy is that to think?
With himself.
No.
Oh.
No.
No.
This is some of the tape from Dr. Oz.
There are all kinds of very honest revelations that you share. One of them, which really caught me off guard, was an admission that you actually, in the middle of games, were so addicted to sex that you would actually go out and have sex in between innings.
That, what?
Please note, by the way, he said games.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, that happened one time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my, what?
When, okay, let's talk about baseball. When could he?
So when his team is batting.
When his team is batting and he's not up for a while?
Yeah, he right. might have just been up the inning before, ended the last inning.
Okay, so now
so he's got nothing to do for nothing. The duration well, of his team's offense. Right.
So maybe he's got 8-10 minutes even? Or more?
Maybe.
Or more. I mean, it can, depending on how you're hitting, you can be up for 20 minutes, you know? So he has
time. He could have been up for 20 minutes.
This is insane. But how does he set that up, though? This is what I'm trying to figure out, because he's not going to know for sure how much time he's going to have and how the game's going to go and whatnot, right? I mean, he couldn't – could he set it up ahead of time and go, all right, meet me at the edge of the dugout at the end of the third inning?
I'm sure this is all well choreographed with people in the dugout.
Correct.
Him, the ladies, I could be there between this time and this time. Sit tight, Papa's coming.
So what do they have? They have a pass or something that lets them mm-hmm. into the innards of the stadium, right?
Yeah, if he's Daryl Strawberry's international superstar, you imagine he could go anywhere he wants to go.
For sure.
And no one would ever stop him.
He can, but I'm trying to figure out how the girls would get down to a place that he could get to them.
Access pass.
Just an access pass, sure. And then there's a meet.
There's an usher there, like, okay.
So he had help.
Oh, yes, for sure.
And he talks about that in this interview.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, you know. It was
pretty crazy?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy lifestyle, you know. Sex addiction, all addictions, and I heard you guys talking about sex addiction and drug addiction, eating addiction, all addictions has to do with behavior. Mm-hmm. If I never change the behavior, I can never get well from it. And we could stay in the addiction as long as we want to. And middle of games, yeah, I would go between innings and stuff like that and run back and, you know, have a little party going on. And, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, that's just the addiction, the drive.
So he would run back, quote, have a little party going
sure.
on, and then head back out to the field.
Yeah.
Forget don't have sex before the night before a game.
Yeah.
How was his next inning, I wonder? I'd like to track that.
Aren't you spent?
I'd like to track that. And see if his the inning after sex just sucked for him.
Yeah.
He just had no energy whatsoever. All right, he continues.
But your teammates, the coaches, did they not know?
Well, some of them covered for me. It was pretty cool.
Some of them would cover for him. So he had teammates that knew about it, mm-hmm. and he had coaches that knew about it.
Sure.
Okay, if you're on Daryl Strawberry's team.
Your teammate.
Do you cover for him? Do you
yeah,
want that?
If he's on a streak, he's hitting, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, dude.
I feel like as an athlete, if your team is on a roll and mm-hmm. and that player is doing good, you would help him do anything.
There's no I in team.
Right.
Right.
What she said.
I ask in part not to blame them, but it's enabling that behavior that's not good for you.
Well, yeah, it definitely is. It's a behavior that's not good for anyone. But I think when you have an addicted personality, like addicts and alcoholics and sex addiction, it's addicted personality. Mm-hmm. And we know how do we turn it on and we turn it off. And it's not until you have an awakening in your life to get well on the inside. And I think so many people never get to that place.
I got to tell you, he comes off not sort of glorifying it, which a mm-hmm. lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I used to bang a lot of people in baseball. Oh, yeah. He doesn't come off that way at all. He's mm-hmm. not bragging about it, it doesn't seem like. He's really taking it seriously.
I mean, it looks like he looks at that as a symptom of a bigger problem that he's glad he beat.
That he played baseball. That's the problem, right?
I don't think that's the problem. No.
They look good on the outside, but they never well on the inside.
Well, how did you get to that place? What was the wake-up call for you? He said, this is not right.
Well, I knew I would never be happy, but I think I'm truly blessed because God sent me a wonderful woman in my life who made me realize the most important thing is my wife today, Tracy, was to take off the uniform and become a man and become responsible.
I think taking off the uniform and becoming a man is what got him into this problem, isn't it? Right?
I mean, come on. Right?
Now, I'm as excited as the next guy that the X-Files is back for season 11 last night on Fox, but I have to admit, I had plans last night.
Did not
get to see it, so I am on the outside of this conversation.
So we can't... Oh.
Why, you wanted to talk about the thing?
Without spoilers.
No, it's all spoilers last night.
I hear it got all turned upside down.
Well, things that you kind of expected were revealed.
A lot of long-time questions, like the canon of the show, the actual, there are aliens and there's a government covering it up. That's what it was all about.
Yeah.
In you know, sometimes it doesn't even come close to that storyline.
Yeah, it was mythology. It wasn't, yes. You know, the werewolves
and hardcore and
whatnot.
And some actual, like, answers that you wanted to know from the beginning.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow, that's
something,
a payoff.
Something that the creator of the show has sat on since an episode aired in 2000.
Wait, what's that?
The flashback where they did the scene.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Sure, that's the big thing.
That's the big reveal that you're like, holy crap.
Yeah, that's...
Since 2000?
Yes.
Way to plant a seed, by the way.
I'm
gotta
saying.
Got to be patient to wait
no
for that.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Bean.
Oh, really? Well, I can't wait to see it today, then.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty damn
good. Yeah, it was, whew.
Loved it.
Well, I haven't see last night, so I haven't seen anything from this season, but I'm already sad at the reports that Gillian Anderson says this time she's really done. She won't come back for more.
Yeah. She said that before.
She has said it before, so we'll see. All right. Excuse me. Thursday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up with Florida? Coming up just after the top of the hour, by the way. A great story about a guy who goes to the ATM and it starts spitting out cash at him.
Fantastic.
Way more cash than he had.
Oh.
And what he does will surprise you. That's coming up. First, though, Allie's here. It's time for What's Happening.
Hey, we talked yesterday about the Coachella lineup coming out, and we're preparing ourselves for the rest of the festivals, which tend to be like every day during the summer, it feels like. Well, we now have a couple more festival lineups. 2018 Governor's Ball Music Festival, that happens in New York City in June, the early part of that. Eminem, Jack White, Travis Scott, and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs are all set to headline.
Wow.
As well as Diplo and Mark Ronson. They're going to debut their new music project called Silk City. Gaslight Anthem is going to play their whole album, The 59 Sound, all the way through. And if you're an NERD fan, like I am, they're going to be doing their first show in New York City since 2010. So that's a good lineup. Until you get to Boston Calling's lineup.
Now,
holy crap.
Are these new festivals or just we hadn't been paying attention to them?
They're just littler festivals that you don't really pay attention to because everyone's talking about Coachella. They're talking about Lollapalooza. They're talking about, what's the one in Tennessee?
Bonnaroo.
Yeah. They're talking about those. Boston Calling.
Okay.
This happens May 25th
through
the 27th. It is. So you're out?
All right. Go ahead.
I might change your mind.
Okay.
The Killers.
All right.
Eminem. Jack White, Queens of the Stone Age, Royal Blood, The National, Paramore, Portugal the Man, Fleet Foxes.
Winner.
And about 10 other bands that you're like, I'm in. Holy crap.
I've never been to Boston. It's time to go.
You've never been to Boston?
I've never been to Boston. Isn't that weird?
They should be down to 3 or 4 feet of snow on the ground by then.
Right?
You aren't kidding.
It's May, right?
Did you say Paramore?
I did say Paramore, yeah. Dave.
We're going to Boston.
Yeah, he's booking that flight for sure. I mean, that lineup, that's nuts.
Yeah, that's great.
That is nuts. And it's in a little city called Alston, which is in Boston. But it's just, this festival has started kicking some serious ass.
It's almost like a band can't tour during the summer anymore unless you're just touring festivals.
Unless
because
you
there's
just
so many
do that, yeah. Which would be kind of a fun summer thing.
Sure.
You know you're not going to have to put it all out there so you can have a little fun as well. It's good times. What do you think was the top-selling album for 2017?
Top-selling album for 2017. I want to say Foo Fighters, but I'm guessing it's not Foo Fighters.
They aren't even in the top 10.
I was afraid of that. Tatos Switler.
She came in at number three. Kids love her. Yeah. Number three with Reputation.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, not top 10.
Fiona Apple?
No, just outside the top 10 as well.
Okay.
Bean, I assume you're not guessing because you know.
Yes.
Okay. Beer mug?
Little Pump.
No, not in the top 10.
Okay.
You like this guy.
I like this guy.
Redhead, strumming his guitar.
Ed Sheeran.
Sure, yeah.
Of course.
Divide came in at number one. That sold more than 2,764,000 total units, followed by Someone Else You Love. Damn.
Kendrick Lamar.
Yes. Followed by Taylor Swift. And then Drake with More Life, followed by another guy you love. 24 Karat Magic in the Air.
Bruno Mars.
Yes. Followed by Post Malone with Stony.
Okay.
Coming in at number 7, Migos with Culture. Number 8, he's headlining on Friday night at Coachella.
The Weeknd.
The Weeknd with Starboy. Number 9, I did not see this one coming. The soundtrack to Moana.
Wow, I would have never guessed that. It gave me 1,000 guesses.
No. And then, is this Khaled? American
yes.
Teen?
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Yes. I like that record, yeah. Don't you?
That's a good record.
Yeah,
it's not
I do.
DJ Khaled, though. It's a different person.
Different guy, yeah. This is a kid.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Good stuff right there. Any of you watch Bright over the December? Oh, Beer Mug is shaking his head, and he's happy about it. Did you like it?
I did.
Okay, because it got panned.
I know.
I watched it.
You, okay.
Yeah.
Kevin,
mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
It got panned.
Rightfully so?
It was in focus.
Crap.
Here's what I will tell you. I will tell you that Will Smith is better than the movie.
Okay.
And the guy who plays
Joel Edgerton
is better than the movie. Both of them are great.
Well, they're two huge, huge stars. That's why people were like, how is this movie debuting on Netflix?
I mean, it was one of those movies that starts out super strong mm-hmm. and then sort of, as a movie, as a whole, falls apart. And you walk out going, okay.
All right.
But they were both great through the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it debuted on December 22nd, and Netflix said it was the number one movie on Netflix in every country and the highest viewed original film ever on the service. So, obviously, they've just signed on for a sequel.
Did fine for them.
Yeah. So, you're all over that, huh? Some good stuff. Are you wondering why people are now paying upwards of $60 for a 2.5-gallon jug of water?
Yeah, I didn't know that was happening.
Well, I'm going to tell you why that's happening and why maybe it's not the best water you can have. I'm thinking $60 for a 2.5-gallon jug. That better be some tasty water.
Right.
That better make your boobs bigger, right? Or something.
Trust me, I've tried everything for that. Nothing works. But this might give you a parasite in your belly.
Okay.
What? We're going to talk about that coming up. But some birthdays before we go. June Diane Raphael from Grace and Frankie? Grace and Frankie, as well as How Did This Get Made? Actor Dave Foley and R.E.M. singer Michael Stipe. And that's what's happening.
Thursday mornings on the program, Mean We Talk Sports with Jim Rome. So much to go over with the great Jim Rome in about an hour from right now. And Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program telling us about the man flu. That's all coming up on this morning's all-new Kevin Bean Show.
The man flu.
Hey, man, you don't know.
I do know.
Oh, really?
I've had the man flu.
First, though.
So much worse than women have any idea.
What is up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
America's penis is still getting it done in 2018. More great stories coming out of the Sunshine State. Flagler County, Florida, Sheriff Rick Staley says this is one of the most bizarre cases I have ever seen in my career. They got a tip-off from a woman who was separating from her husband. Hey, he said something kind of weird to me. He said, don't let the kids open the door.
What?
Would you go check that out for me, please?
Oh.
So they kick in the door, and they find out that he had rigged up the door to electrocute his wife when she came in. That was his plan.
So he wanted it to do injury, but not to his kids.
Not to his kids. He wanted to make sure his wife opened the door. So he said, hey, don't let the kids open the door. He had set up two chairs with a shower rod and had taped it with electrical cords and wiring and a car battery charger and clamps. And the thing was set up to try to kill his wife when she came
Holy
in the door.
Crap.
Wow.
So good that she had a heads up and was able to alert the police on this. When they showed up, he was already gone, by the way. He had a stolen firearm, and he was on the run. And when they caught up with him on Wednesday, the next day, he had already changed his relationship status on Facebook to widowed.
Oh,
no.
He assumed, oh, wow. No. He assumed that his plan had worked and that he would be free and clear. And he wanted to make sure to let the other ladies on Facebook know that he was now available,
and he couldn't,
I guess.
Wait 24 hours to do that?
Yes. Yes.
Widow.
So he has been arrested, is being held on $150,000 bail. But that one could have been, that could have gone way bad, by the way. But can you imagine in a million years ever coming up with that plan?
No, that's absurd.
All right, here's the automatic teller machine story. This is a 23-year-old. His name is Michael Joseph Olskisk. And he went to the ATM, the Wells Fargo branch in Cocoa, on November the 29th. And he was just trying to get some money out on his way to work. Well, the machine would not stop issuing money. $20 bills are flying out of the machine.
Okay. Now, I've been thinking about this since you teased it. What would I do if I was standing in front of an ATM and it just started shooting out $20 bills?
I'd be real good at catch.
Right?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I think you know, even though it looks like a windfall, you know that they're going to find out that you're the one who got all the money because they have records of what's happening on the ATM and they've got a camera and the whole deal. So it's not really your money.
It is if I start stripping. And then I earn it, and then the ATM's making it rain.
What I'm saying is I think the bank is going to ask for it back. It's kind of like, you know, you show up, you look, open up your statement, you realize there's a deposit in your account that's wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't get to keep
it.
That
what?
Money. So what did this man do? What did Michael do? He started smashing the machine. He started hitting it, punching it, pummeling the touchscreen so much that he did $5,000 damage to the ATM.
Wait, he did that out of a good place to stop it from shooting money out?
He did that because he was angry that it was spitting out all this money. When he was arrested a few days later, because, yes, they did go to the camera, they did realize who it was, and they tracked him down, he said he was angry that the machine was giving him too much money. He didn't know what to do with it all because he was in a hurry for work. He's like, I don't have time for this nonsense.
Nonsense.
I don't want to have to deal with this.
Quit work. That's what you do with it.
He did apologize for causing the damage, but he was arrested, and the bank is pressing charges.
So he took the money. He took the money?
It doesn't say the story. I mean, I can't, again, there's no way he got to keep the money. You know
right,
what I mean?
But I think he took it, and then maybe he tried to smash the machine so that it wouldn't have a record of him taking it or it shooting out the money.
Okay.
Oh,
maybe.
Conspiracy Kevin here.
Maybe.
And here, like a sucker, I believed his story that he was just upset that he didn't want to have to deal with this mistake.
Yeah, you're a sucker.
Now you could be right. He could. That's exactly what he could have been doing.
Don't know.
Interesting. How do you do $5,000 damage, by the way? In this article, it sounds like he just hit it with his fists. It doesn't seem like you'd be able to, right?
I feel like I would just sit there bleeding and it would be like no damage at all. Someone would
right,
come out
exactly.
And wipe it off and it would be pristine.
Here is a charge that we see from time to time in Florida, misusing the 911 system. This man was in the mood for crabs. His name is Nelson Augusto from Stewart, and he went to Krabby's Seafood Shack and ordered himself a plate of those crabs. Well, clams. So when they arrived, he said, hey, these clams aren't big enough. There's practically nothing in some of these shells. I'm not paying $12 for this. So he called 911 to ask for an officer to come out. Because he perceived this as a gross miscarriage of justice. The dispatcher on the line said, "It's you need to call the non-emergency line. This is a 911. So a short time later, the man calls 911 again and says, look, I called the non-emergency line. Nobody answered. I still need an officer to arrive on the scene. So they did send out an officer to arrest him for misusing 911.
Oh, man. What is wrong with people?
Right? Why do you think, hey, this doesn't have enough clam in it? I'm calling 911. That's insane.
I hate that sentence.
I called 911 from the emergency room.
A few times, I think.
But it was an accident.
By the way, I saw some listeners online yesterday, Kevin, who have run into that same problem that you had with the iPhone X. It sounds like
X,
a bad design.
The iPhone X has the button that you turn it off on the same
swipe.
On the same screen as another swipe, which is SOS, call 911.
That seems like bad plan.
It sure does.
And is there any
Jobs
way to
would
change
not have allowed
it?
That.
Is there any way to move that
not
to
that
a different
I know
screen?
Of. Not that I know of.
That's weird.
But
all right, one more. You would think that a story of a man celebrating his 21st birthday and ending up going to jail would be a great story involving too much drinking, maybe doing something crazy, but that is not the case here. This guy stole a debit card from a coworker at McDonald's and decided he was going to take himself to the movies. His name was Atif Hussein. He was turning 21 years old on Christmas Day, and to celebrate, he decided he was going to go watch Pitch Perfect 3.
got himself some snacks at the concession stand. And as I mentioned, it was a stolen debit card. And I guess with some of these cards, this sounds like a great system. You get a text if your card is used.
Oh, no.
So his coworker back at the McDonald's gets this text for $6.41 for the ticket. And by the way, can you believe you can buy a ticket to a movie for $6.41 anywhere?
Are you seeing Pitch Perfect 3?
And $11.11 for the snack. So she gets this text on her phone and she goes, hey, I'm at work at McDonald's right now. This is not me using my card. So she notified the sheriff's department. They went to the theater, saw security camera footage of Mr. Hussein, the guy who had stolen the card, and then waited for Pitch Perfect 3 to end so they could arrest him. But it turned out he wasn't in the theater. He was apprehended later at his house. What had happened is he decided Pitch Perfect 3 was terrible.
It sucked and he left.
And he had theater hopped over to Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. So he steals a card and then has a terrible time anyway, even though he didn't pay for it. That's an indictment of Pitch Perfect 3. If it's so bad, you won't even see it for free.
He stole it.
No.
Now he gets arrested, by the way. He goes to jail, doesn't have $3,500 bond. So I assume he missed the beginning of Jumanji also because he theater hopped, right?
Sure.
So that's a terrible 21st birthday. Nobody wants that. That's What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
How on earth does Channel 5 change to a freaking weather map? The dude's in his underwear hiding behind a tent of some kind.
I'm pretty sure he was taking a poop.
I don't understand what's happening. Yeah, there was a car chase.
Yeah.
Guy took a giant truck. He was banging into vehicles. He was wearing his underwear. He jumped out. He ran. Mm-hmm. And the helicopters got him hiding, and the cops are right around, and now they cut to a traffic map.
I'm watching the stream on Channel 4, by the way.
Come on!
Still keeping an eye on it. But it's crazy that he is hunched over in this little crawl space, basically, and he thinks, I'm getting away with this. I actually am going to make it.
But when you look at that space, you can see that. If you've never watched a car chase before and you don't know how good those cameras are on the helicopters, mm-hmm. it's a pretty small little hidden space behind a place.
Mm-hmm.
I would think
it's a good hiding space, but how can he not hear the helicopters above him? You think he just doesn't think they can get that close to the ground with the cameras?
Maybe, probably.
I don't think he's John Cena going, you can't see me, you can't see me.
That's possible. Well, any second now, I imagine the police are going to walk down that alley and they're going to pull him out of there. But that dude, look, I hate car chases. Anyway,
I love them.
And they should never happen.
They're the best.
He could have killed someone.
Yes.
This guy in particular was awful.
So. And that's the good news.
All right. Welcome to Kevin Beecher here on a Thursday morning. Jim Rome with so much in sports, including the Rams' first playoff game in Southern California in decades. We'll talk about that and so much more with Jim coming up right after 8. First, though, Dave, you told us yesterday that you spent New Year's Eve in Colorado.
Yes.
And as an aside, you mentioned something that your friend did that I thought was interesting and worth exploring a little bit.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked by this when, I went out there for New Year's Eve and she went shopping for a New Year's Eve outfit because she didn't like what she brought. And, you know, she went shopping and then purchased a couple of items. Yeah, and then we discussed and I found out that she was just going to wear them and then return them. And
That was the plan from the beginning?
Yes.
So she didn't really have the money to buy them. She bought them temporarily?
She just bought them for that night.
Okay. Because
she didn't really want to keep the items.
Okay.
So then she was telling me that she's going to return them, and she does this all the time.
Including the one she wore?
Including the ones she wore.
Boy, is it like super high-end stuff? Or
No. It wasn't crazy. I mean, we were at places like Urban Outfitters.
Could she afford it?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't know. I don't really know her financials.
Does that matter, though, Allie?
It doesn't really.
It doesn't, but it makes it a little less scumbaggy if you couldn't afford it and you're like, I just need to do this for this one night. It's awful.
But it sounds
like this is her MO.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
This wasn't situational, like, I just need something for tonight.
Yeah.
After speaking with her, she does this all the time.
She's awful. She's an awful person.
I know her. She is not an awful person.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Let me just weigh in on this. She's awful.
You're awful.
I am awful as well because I did it when I was younger, when I was a punk high schooler.
Okay.
I would buy a tennis racket, go play tennis, take it back. I would buy a I would buy a basketball, go play basketball, take it back. I would buy a bicycle and ride it for a little while, take it back.
But you were young.
I was young. I was a punk.
Okay.
I was a young punk.
That people think that because it's a store, that somehow it doesn't cost anything. You know what I mean? Like, there's no harm, no done, because it's just a big department store, for instance, or something like that. And they don't realize how costly people who do this are to retail.
Do the stores, are they allowed to just put them back up? Like, if she kept that dress in perfect shape.
That's a great question.
Over New Year's Eve. Wouldn't they just look at it and go, there's no damage on it?
Maybe, if they put it as an as-is type of thing.
Nope, I put it up as new.
Yeah, and I found out also that when you're
I'm bad on both ends.
When you're at a high-end store like Nordstrom's or Saks, they send it to their offshoot stores like Nordstrom Rack or Saks Fifth. What's that other
Saks? Oh, the returns they do?
Yeah, the returns. That's where they send them. So somebody else is getting a great deal because of that.
Well,
action.
Here's my next
I'm down
concern.
With that. Yeah.
Is whoever helped her find this dress, did they get a commission off of it? And then in turn, when she brought it back, did they lose that commission?
Well, if she would have never got that dress, then they wouldn't get commissioned anyways, so.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah, but you're messing with somebody.
You are friend adjacent horrible.
And by the way, no one even helps you. It's not like an.
Oh, now you're shopping with her?
Well, I did this past weekend.
He was a lookout.
Yeah. I did this past weekend, and you know what? You go into a store, and you're like, oh, I'll take this and this, and then you buy it. No one's getting commission off of that.
But I think, Dave, I think there are victims from that kind of behavior. I don't think this is a no-victim crime.
Hey, I don't do it, but you know,
Dave's not that bad, and I don't do it anymore.
So you're worried about the company, right? Bean, is that who you think is getting hurt? And
absolutely,
right.
I think the company is getting hurt.
Odd that we would have Omar in here. So so we're having this conversation yesterday, and Dave says my friend did it, and I said I did it when I was younger, and Omar says I did it last weekend.
Yeah, however, I think my situation is a little different. So I have a couple of rental properties.
All criminals by the way.
I'm not like those other criminals.
No. I started getting really into home repair because I have rentals, and it was going to save me a lot of money, and it's kind of, you know, I treat it as a business.
You're one of those people that can fix things?
Exactly.
That's nonsense.
So I was going into Home Depot and Lowe's a lot, and I love these stores. I easily drop.
I would love them too if it was free to use their stuff.
I easily drop about, you know, a couple $1,000s a year at these stores because of what I do. Yeah. And from time to time, I will go in there and I'll have the tenants snap me a picture with the problem issue, what it is, usually electrical or plumbing. Some woodworking, and they'll just snap a picture. This is what's going on. So I take the picture and go to Home Depot, and I ask the assistant there, like, you know, what do I need? What kind of parts do I need? And it could be this, this, or this.
So you don't have a plumber guy that you call or anyone else.
I do it all
you
myself because plumbing and electrical, if it's, I think I could handle it. I'm saving thousands of dollars a year doing it myself.
By fixing it yourself.
Right. And YouTube is my savior because you can look it up and do it yourself.
Okay, so you look it up, you go down there, you ask them what parts they need and how to fix it.
Right. So then they say, okay, well, you need these tools and you need these parts possibly. Now, I asked the Home Depot guy, what is your return policy? What if I buy all these parts and all these tools and I don't need them? And he says, you could buy all these couple of $100 worth of tools and parts, go use what you need to use and just return them. It's no big deal.
So basically he's begging you to return them.
Yeah.
You're doing him a favor.
Yeah.
Sure he didn't say the things you don't use you can return?
No. He said, for the most part, what they do is like, you know, tools are just going to get, the car chase has distracted me. The tools are just going to get put back up. It's not a big deal.
So they get put up as new.
Right. Okay. And then this past weekend, what had happened is that I had a plumbing issue that was about a $625 issue that I couldn't fix, called the plumber out, and he told me that you need to get this other issue fixed, and that was going to be another $400, $500. The part is only $100, but you need this special pipe wrench that is $75 along with these other wrenches to do it correctly, because if you don't do it correctly and have these tools, you're going to strip things and it's going to be a bigger issue. But you need to take this care of this right away, because if not, you possibly could burst pipes. So I didn't have the money. It was after the holidays. I was kind of strapped, and I wasn't going to spend $100 on tools and keep the tools if I'm just going to use them this one time. So I used the tools, used the parts, got everything fixed, and took it back.
Oh, well, that's fine then.
You think so?
No! No!
Why am I going to keep tools that I'm not going to need? And they're in brand new condition.
Don't buy them.
They're in brand
rent
new condition.
Them. Ask friends. Ask
who
around if anybody.
I'm going to be without water.
Tools.
I'm going to be out, yeah, without water for a couple of days. I can't
How
do that. I have children.
Home Depot's problem.
It's not, but I took care of it the way I took care of it. I don't, you know, see a big issue with it.
How is
because
it almost
gonna,
problem?
They're going to put it back on the shelf and sell it. It's in brand new condition.
All right, we're taking calls
Omar.
On
yeah.
from who?
Omar.
Who are we taking calls from?
Punks.
Are we taking calls from people who do this?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking for you went in and you bought it with the intention of not keeping it. Your plan was to use it and return it. What was it you bought, and are you an awful person? Those are the questions.
By the way, Bean's the one to talk who buy bootleg CDs from, like, you know, Weezer fans and
he
stuff
did.
Like that. You know
he
what I mean? We all are guilty of doing something like this, that has taken advantage of
How
the man.
How many of us have done it in the last week?
Well, me.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next. All right, just ahead of the Foo Fighters, let's take one call. Let's make it Barbie in Fullerton. Good morning, Barbie.
Hi, good morning.
Barbie, we're talking about awful people who buy something with the intention of returning it. They never meant to keep it. They're just trying to rip off the retailer.
Not trying to rip anyone off, and it's not, my situation isn't like I don't have the money. It's like I'm not going to wear it again. So it was with maternity clothes. I was recently pregnant.
Okay.
I just wanted to wear it, you know, this one time from like my baby shower.
You understand their store is not a rental facility, though, right? You know that their business is selling items.
It is, but, you know, why would I keep it? Why am I going to get pregnant again? Am I not? I don't know. So.
No, with that attitude.
Did you feel at all bad?
No, because it wasn't dirty. It was, you know, in perfect condition. The tag is still on it, and they didn't ask me any questions.
I would have liked it better if it was a little dirty.
Omar.
I know this is not going to be a popular comment, Barbie, but somebody should take your child away from you.
What?
Is that too much? Too much?
That's too much. Talking about people who go to a store and buy an item with the idea that they're going to use it and then return it and get their money back. And the man, Allie and Bean, they're in the room.
Yeah.
Trying to make you feel all bad about
so
it.
So lame.
Right?
I just think it just lends itself to lawlessness. And where are we as a society?
Thank you, Allie. Well
You're
said.
Welcome, Bean.
Words I've never said in my life.
No.
Hey, before we get back to the calls, John in Long Beach texts into the Kevin and Bean Show. The day after Christmas, I walked into Target and saw a woman returning a full 6'7" Christmas tree.
Oh, no.
You know, you don't need it anymore. And this one will amaze you. This is from Casey. A coworker's aunt bought a special occasion dress from a store like Nordstrom Rack. She started feeling ill while at the event wearing the dress and ended up in the emergency room having an allergic reaction of some sort. After tests were run, anyone care to guess what was wrong with the dress? It turns out she was having a reaction to formaldehyde.
Oh,
the dress was bought by a family,
no.
Put on the deceased for a funeral,
oh, no.
And then returned afterwards.
No.
Yay! Oh, my gosh.
The kids love death clothes.
I've said that for years.
Learned. Let's talk to Robert Granada Hills, 1-800-520-1067. Robert joins us on line one. Hey, Robert, what's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much.
So you work where?
So I work at a department store. I really don't want to say, but
okay.
It's a major one that had like over 1,000 stores throughout the U.S. or still has.
Okay.
If I used to be a manager and people would return things all the time. So I would have customers who would wear shoes for a couple months. The soles are worn out. They're dirty, nasty. And they would exchange them for the exact same ones and have a brand new pair of shoes to walk out with.
So,
and they do this with no shame.
So your policy was, it was okay to do that?
It was a no questions asked return policy. You bring it back for any reason.
I need to know the store name.
Exactly. Totally. We need to go.
I need some shoes.
I am only going to shop at your store from now on.
See, I get that type of thing because, like, L.L. Bean has that policy. And I returned boots that the flap on the back had come out 8 years later. They're like, whoa, you wore these out. Go grab a new pair.
Wait, how's that different?
That's what I'm saying. I don't mind this if that is
How
their
that's
policy.
Different is their policy to do that.
Yeah, but
It's their policy to go ahead and bring them back at any time.
Yeah, but Home Depot and Lowe's, they have no questions asked, too. You just return it.
I mean they're not going to be Omar's got a point.
Yeah.
No, we don't know that that's their actual
policy. It totally is.
The guy told him that.
The guy told me that.
He did say use
it. Yeah, so it's the same exact thing.
I don't know if I believe that, Omar.
Yeah. Robert, has your store ever denied somebody bringing something back? As long as they bought it at your store, is it cool?
Yeah, I mean, we've taken back, I took back underwear from a lady, and of course she said I didn't like it because it went inside of me.
Oh,
when
I wore it.
My Lord.
She was looking at it when she returned it.
You could have sold that for more.
Said it, I dropped it and sat back because I was shocked.
I no longer need to know the name of your store. Thank you.
I do. Thank you, Robert.
Wow.
By the way,
so fast.
Home Depot,
uh-huh.
Most new unopened merchandise sold can be returned within 90 days. Then they have other exceptions, and they may be able to find your receipt in the system. But it's definitely not a no questions asked.
The guy told me. And
hated
every
his
time,
job and every single last day.
Hold on. Hey, Dave, come in here. Our phone's died.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
No.
But every time I return anything, it's no questions asked. They're like, here you go. Is there anything wrong with it? I'm like, no. Boom.
And they could tell you used it. That's the difference.
It's brand new. I mean, it's in brand new shape. So it looks brand new.
Unopened
brand
merchandise.
New. Okay.
All right. I can't see them anymore, but Kevin. But Dave says the calls
really,
are back
really
on
just
hold.
Hates me
I just
right
think
now.
You're a horrible man.
But you do the same thing at L.L. Bean.
That's their policy, and they welcome it, and they're proud of that policy.
Huh.
All I'm right. just telling you.
I'm
telling
just
you.
Telling you
Let's
that.
Poor, poor daughters.
Let's take Charles.
Daddy's a thief. What?
Why are you bringing my daughters into this?
Why do you steal ladders?
Hi, Charles.
Hello.
So what happened?
Well, the best thing about Costco is they have a great return policy. I got an air conditioner for about a couple months when it was hot during the summertime, and then just took it back when I was done.
Okay, now let me ask the same question again. They're fine with that. Nobody asks you, is there anything wrong with it? They don't say it's too used for us to resell. They just take it back and give you your money back?
They just take it back. You put the money back on your card, and they don't lose any money because they return it back to the manufacturer, and they get their full price back because they buy in bulk.
Someone is losing money somewhere on this deal. I'm
Doesn't
telling
sound
you. This
like
is
it
not
to me,
a victimless crime.
Doesn't sound like it to me. All right, let's go to Norman because he's got quite a story. I believe he's returning stuff that may be quite used. Norman in West Hollywood. Hi.
Hi, yeah. It's pretty similar to the last story. I bought probably $500-$600 worth of camping gear and went out and used it. And we got rained on the whole time we were there. The store has a policy where it's no questions asked, so I just went back. I said one of the seams inside the tent leaked, and my boots were too tight, or just whatever I could come up with, and they were all muddy and trashed, and they just looked at me with a blank stare and said, all right, go pick out some new stuff.
I got to go shopping.
That's insane. I'm going to REI.
This seems
too good to be true.
This seems to be everyone's policy.
I'm living all wrong, by the way. I should have like the high-end stuff and then just use it and then return it and then buy it again.
It sounds like you're living partly right.
Yeah, that's true.
Allie's living all wrong.
Yeah, totally.
Might be true.
It's Thursday morning. That means we're going to talk to Jim Rome in a couple of minutes about what's up with the Rams in the playoffs on Saturday. What's up?
5:15 game. Who's in?
What's up with the Raiders getting a new coach, perhaps? So we're going to talk all things sports with Mr. Jim Rome coming up just after the top of the hour. And now it's time for What's Happening, and here's Allie.
You guys heard about this new hot health craze? It's called raw water.
I have.
Yeah, your voice kind of sounded like you're disgusted by it.
Well, because I don't know why you would want it.
Yeah, so it's really expensive and apparently really bad for you. The trend is essentially water that comes straight from the natural source. So that means it's not passing through any sort of cleaning, government regulation,
filtration,
anything.
Nothing?
Filtration. They're not putting fluoride in it, helping you with that tooth decay.
Where are they getting it?
Streams, random puddles. I don't know.
Random puddles.
Could you imagine? It rained. Let's go get our raw water. But Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the off-the-grid solution of drinking water that comes straight from streams, rivers, and groundwater is an invitation for drinking a big old glass of parasites. You can get illnesses such as hepatitis,
wow,
norovirus, cholera, and E. coli.
Wow.
But despite that risk, raw water around California's Silicon Valley has sent prices soaring because small companies are bottling their untreated water. They've hiked the prices up from $36.99 to over $60 for a 2.5-gallon jug. And I just say that's Darwinism at work.
Let them
drink their raw water.
Sitting the herd.
Let them just poop out their life. Because what is wrong with you?
They have the option to get clean, filtered water.
Yes.
And they're saying, no, no, let's pull it out of the swamp instead.
Yeah.
And let's pay 10 times more for it.
Let's do what people in countries are begging us for. Clean water.
Right.
And by countries, Flint, Michigan. Like, right. This is just, this is
wow.
insane to me.
Is this from Goop?
What kind of hipster BS is this?
Is this from
it does
Goop?
Sound very goopy, Kevin.
Gwyneth yeah, it Paltrow does. Yeah. Goop? But this is in Silicon Valley.
Wow. Well, that's why people laugh at California.
People yeah. are dumb.
People are dumb. Great, great takeaway. This news was tweeted to me 407 times yesterday.
Okay.
And I appreciated every single one
so
of you.
So got it or need more?
I don't need any more.
Got it.
But right. I love the heads up and I love that you knew I would care about this.
Okay.
It's official. We are going to see an Olivia Pope, Annalise Keating crossover. How to Get Away with Murder. And Scandal. They are gonna meet up. What is gonna happen, y'all? Who's with me?
This
is awesome.
That's gonna be yes. a lot of very intense acting.
So much chewing of the scenery. I cannot wait. They actually tweeted a bunch of pictures. Kerry Washington would tweet one, and then Viola Davis would tweet one, and they're oh, like, wow. Wait, why is Viola Davis at the White House? Wait a minute, Olivia Pope seems to be... wherever How to Get Away with Murder is. So really exciting for people that love those two shows, like me.
Mm-hmm.
The crossover is expected to air around mid-March, which is great because Scandal is leaving forever in April. So something big is going down. And don't worry, you guys, new episodes of ABC's TGIT returns on January 18th. I am pumped. You know how I love my How to Get Away with Murder.
Sure, you do.
And Scandal.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. Did you guys check out any of the New Year's Eve celebrations that were on television?
No.
Okay. All right. Because you're not a loser and you probably have plans. Got it. Well, for the rest of us, Anderson Cooper had always done the New Year's Eve show on CNN with Kathy Griffin. And then she was dumped from that show after the photograph of her with the fake Trump decapitated head.
Sure,
came
there
out.
Was that. Yeah,
there was a little issue. She no longer talks to Anderson Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anderson's best friend was tapped to be his co-host, Andy Cohen.
Okay.
And then Kathy Griffin came out and was like, "The guy's a misogynist. He's awful." Da da da. That's all well and good.
Okay.
What about the numbers? What did it do?
How well did it perform? Is it better yeah. than before?
It was their best ratings ever. The most
really?
Watched New Year's Eve special in CNN history went up 8% in total viewers, which
wow.
that's a good chunk. I tuned in for a little bit, and those two were unwatchable together.
Is that right?
There was no chemistry between the two, which I thought was odd. If you're best friends, you should be able to play off each other a little bit.
Right.
But I think that's why Kathy was so needed. Because that's what happened. She made him giggle.
So this wasn't from this year?
This was not from this year, no. But Anderson Cooper, he was just none of this. Which, candidly, Anderson Cooper is my favorite.
He's my favorite Anderson Cooper as well.
But, like, Kathy Griffin would strip down to her undies. She'd tweak his nipples. She'd put bronzer on his face. There was just... always an element of unexpected. You didn't know it was going to happen. They were just boring as hell.
I feel like it might be the wrong network, though.
For Kathy?
Yes. Maybe that on another network would perform better, but...
It's performed great.
Yeah?
It's just, it went up this year. But I think also a lot of people, the numbers were counted in with the show that was after it as well, which is Don Lemon. And is it Brooks?
The Lemon Party?
Brooke
Baldwin. No, very different. Is it Brooke Baldwin?
I think that's what you're talking about for New Year's Eve.
Yes,
CNN?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did it. They hosted from New Orleans.
They're from New Orleans. Then they take over for the last couple hours after midnight, so for the West Coast. And those two get wasted.
Oh, sweet.
And
Don Lemon really gets drunk.
On CNN?
Blast. Yes, yeah. Last year was...
This makes me want to watch CNN for the first time.
Last year was kind of the big Don Lemon, oh my God, he is doing his thing party.
Okay.
But then this year, Don Lemon brought out... his boyfriend smooched him right at midnight. And people were like, okay, look at Don Lemon living his best life. It was quality, quality viewing from what I just watched.
Give him the breathalyzer.
No need. It's New Orleans. They'll kick you out if you're not wasted on New Year's, and rightfully so. Another interesting story out of New Year's Eve. Anderson Cooper was just on Stephen Colbert and said that he stayed warm by throwing down over $3,000 for electric warming clothing.
Never heard of it.
From socks that have heat warmers
you
in it.
Plug it all in?
It's battery operated. Yeah. So your socks stay warm, your hat stays warm. He said at one point it kicked in and his nipples got a little too warm. So it's everywhere. It's shirts, it's pants, everything. $3,000 from the warming store.
That's a place?
That is fascinating to me. That's a place. Huh. It's real.
Huh.
You like that warming?
How about underwear? Do you got the warming underwear?
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Gloves.
Sorry.
Scarves. Socks.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love him.
I do, actually.
I enjoy him.
I do, too.
But I did not enjoy his little co-host. Mm. Didn't like it.
Okay.
So, mark that down, CNN.
I don't think they care. Okay. They got better ratings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. Some birthdays today. REM singer Michael Stipe, actor Dave Foley, and actress June Diane Raphael. And that's what's happening.
Right? Right. Ladies and gentlemen, this time every week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are pleased to welcome broadcasting legend Jim Rome, host of the Jim Rome Show, to the program. Don't forget the Jim Rome podcast with new episodes every Tuesday on iTunes and Google Play. And now you can actually see Jim on TV. His show is broadcast live on the CBS Sports Network. Mr. Rome, Happy New Year, sir. Welcome back.
My K-Rock family. What's up, guys? Happy New Year.
You too.
Thank you for that awesome intro.
I had forgotten what a beautiful head of hair you have until I started watching you on CBS Sports Network this week. You really, I mean, for a man of your age, Jim, and I mean this sincerely, you've got great mane up there.
You know, I got to be honest with you. It's true. It really is true. I've got an amazing stylist. Samara hooks me up. My lettuce is tight. It looks good. Hey, listen, why do you think you want to be on TV? It's not about my takes. It's about my lettuce.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Right. How are you enjoying being on TV and having the eyes of the nation hanging on every word?
You know, it's awesome. It's a trip, though, and I think you guys can appreciate this more than anybody else. You have listeners, and they listen every single day, maybe every single year, in a lot of cases 4 years, and they know you, and they know the crew, and they conjure up this image about what it might look like, right? Mm-hmm. It's like some theater of the mind bullcrap.
Right, and it's always better than the real thing.
Right, right, but they don't really know, and then all of a sudden, you don't just pull back the curtain, but you knock down the whole damn wall, and now they see everything. So it's pretty intense, and it's kind of a trip, but it's been fun so far.
I saw a picture of Alvin getting his makeup done, and I thought, well, look at Alvin.
Wow.
How about that? In fact, I know not to go in there until he is done.
Oh, is that right?
Oh. See it, Diva now?
In the history of radio, Jim, no listener has ever come up to a broadcaster and said, you are better looking than I imagined you to be.
Never. And I've never heard that. And I don't suspect that I will. That's why I'm going to take that credit for my hair and run with it. But I mean, that whole makeup thing, too, is like weird. Like, I got to put my face on. I'd forgotten about that. I mean, I'd done a TV show every single day for years. But I'm telling you about that crap. It's gotten better over the years. But once that's in your face, it never comes out.
Yeah.
And
sure.
I don't care how many times you wash your face, you carry that crap with you the rest of your life. So I'm that guy, too.
And I assume HD doesn't help. I assume that it used to be so much better.
No, I liked it much better when we had like 12-inch screens that were black and white. HD is the worst thing that ever happened to anybody, especially radio guys. Like one of my best buddies in the business said, look, if I wanted to be on TV, I'd be on TV, all right?
So, exactly.
And in the meantime, I put in a good word for you guys. I told the CBS brass, since we have the same company, you're in.
They've asked us many times, and we tell
them again.
We tell them the exact same thing, which is it will bore people to tears. The answer is no.
Yeah.
And you're not helping us.
No, and by the way, guys, I told them, they asked me, hey, listen, can you help? Since you're having so much fun with this, Rome, can you help us with Kevin and B? And I'm like, help you? They're done. They're down. They asked me how to get in. Trust me, that phone will ring. Just say yes, fellas.
Listen to the show all 3 hours.
More work, less money. Just say yes.
9 to noon, West Coast at JimRome.com, or now watch it on the CBS Sports Network. This is actually a great time to be a sports radio host because there's so much action, especially in the NFL right now. But I think we got to start with the hometown heroes. The Chargers didn't quite make it this year, but the Rams versus Falcons this Saturday, the wild card matchup. What say you, Jim?
I don't have time for that. I've got to get more makeup and work on my hair. Listen, the Rams, this is really crazy, right? I mean, they were away 20 years. They come back. They're garbage last year. And then 1 year later, they're not only in the playoffs, they're hosting a game, prime time, under the lights. It's amazing. And why is that? It's Allie's man, Sean McVay. Everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay, but the problem is there isn't another McVay. Is there, Allie?
No, there's not. No.
It's so
freaking ram it.
It's
yeah. Do you know how to run it?
Yeah, Allie. Happy New Year, Allie. What's up?
Happy New Year, Jim.
And he is how old again? 38 or something? What is he?
Old enough 32? To be Allie's son. I mean, old enough to be Allie's son.
How dare you?
Wow. Super young.
Wow. Yeah, that joke worked better last year, didn't it, Allie? Sorry
yes,
about that.
It's 2018.
Sorry about that,
it's
girlfriend.
A new year.
How does Soon. Let me ask you this question, though. This is the first time he's a head coach, right?
Yes.
How does he come in and take the worst performing offense for the year and make them into maybe the best performing offense?
That's it. Or the biggest bust of a quarterback ever in Jared Goff and make him one of the best quarterbacks
right.
in the NFL.
How
Todd
does he
Gurley,
do that in one
who had
year?
Nothing. He's a prodigy. The guy's a genius.
He's
I mean,
magic.
He really.
Wow.
So go ahead, Al. Answer that question.
I think
he's your man.
Well, it's basic sorcery. Is what
witchcraft?
Witchcraft,
magic.
Sorcery,
okay.
witchcraft. Plus, when right. you're super hot, you want to do well for someone super hot. That's
wow.
why I always say, have a super hot boss.
I
there
see.
You go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, that answers the question. But
right.
one problem, I've got to be real. If the next thing is, all right, so what's going to happen? I hate to be a buzzkill. And the fact is, they have never been on the stage before. The Falcons were on the stage last year.
How'd that go?
I got it. Don't interrupt, please. Please, Allie. I got to be real about this. Just because I'm a guy from L.A., I cannot home for the Rams. Yes, I can. Ram it. She answered her own question. It was the biggest choke ever. They're fine. Best offense in the league. The NFL's biggest freak defensively in Aaron Donald. They're at home. It's their time. Screw it. In fact, ram it. You got this.
I love it.
Go Rams.
All right. Let's go to L.A.'s actual favorite team now and talk Raiders. John Gruden, it looks like, will be the next coach. Is that a good move for the Raiders?
It's sort of weird. I think everybody is all about this. Yeah, we're going to get our guy. What I want to know is exactly what are you getting? The guy who went 50-30 in his first 5 years and won a Super Bowl, or a guy who went 45-51 with no playoff wins the rest of the way? An icon or a boring TV host? You're trying to hire the best available coach or the biggest available name? I don't get it. I really don't see it. The guy was not getting it done, and that was 10 years ago. So 10 years after not getting it done, he's going to be better? In what world?
Yeah, who? And I look at him, too, as a TV host, and I go, well, he hasn't really been in the trenches as a coach for 10 years now. He's just going to start where he left off. When
right,
was
and, where, and where he left off was where he wasn't
right,
winning.
Right.
Where he left off, it was not good at all, which is why he got into TV in the first place, right?
That's
why
right.
he went into TV. So I don't see it. I don't think it's going to get done. It seems to me the Raiders deserve better than recycling some bored TV analyst who hasn't done it in nearly a decade. I don't
well,
see
it. It just speaks to the shortage of quality coaches out there. Look, they'd be hiring people if they were available that were good, right? There just aren't that many who can do it.
That's part of it. But I'd still rather get somebody who's been in the trenches grinding it out or, you know, take that big swing. I'm not saying that there's another McVay, but there are young, talented guys. Take a chance on somebody. Don't
right.
bring in a guy just to sell tickets.
Yeah, there's got to be a good assistant coach somewhere. All right, in our final minute with the great Jim Rome here on the Kevin Bean Show, Mike Tyson, who has had throughout his long career as a boxer, a fair amount of drug problems. Now looks like he wants to get into the marijuana-raising business here in California. What's up with this?
It doesn't want to, but apparently is. This is awesome. Hey, look, you guys hit the new Cron laws pretty hard this week, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Sure.
You guys
sure.
are Team Bake.
Yes.
You guys are Team Bake.
Yes, absolutely.
You can get back to snapping bowls in a second, Allie.
I'm more edibles, but yeah, I get you.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So anyway, what we're talking about here is Mike Tyson wants to get in. He reportedly broke ground on what's going to be a 40-acre marijuana resort called Tyson Ranch. The ranch is going to be a head's paradise. Every strain, every flavor, a supply store, Allie's edible factory, premium campgrounds and cabins for Sanchez to nap it out. This dude is a genius. Like, 2 years ago, Mike does this. He's a drug dealer. Today, he's Mark Zuckerberg. I love it. It's so awesome. Ranch.
It might work.
Look,
there are a lot of people who are going to become millionaires as a result of this legal pot and marijuana. And if you're smart enough and you do it right and you get in at the right time, why not Mike Tyson?
Absolutely.
Dudes, I don't bake. I want in. Where do I sign up?
Exactly. All right. Jim Rome, 9 to noon. You can listen to him at jimrome.com. Now watch him on the CBS Sports Network on whatever TV system you've got. I've got DirecTV. He's at 221. And you'll want to check it out. Plus the new Jim Rome podcast. New episodes every Tuesday. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Thursday.
You guys are the best. See you then.
Thank
Bye.
You. Once again, this morning, by the way, we are giving you tickets to go see the Killers play in Staples Center February 1st or 2nd. You can go to krock.com for another chance to win, or just keep listening. We've got it for you between 9 and 9:15 this morning, about the same time we catch up with Dr. Drew. That's all coming up on KROQ.
I'm very excited. You guys know how long it's been since we've talked to Mole?
Huh.
I don't even remember the
no.
last time. Why, is he calling in?
Mole!
Hey, Kevin Bean! Hey, Al, you know who it is?
It's Mole!
Mole.
It's Mo.
Oh,
wow. How
happy
you,
New Year. Happy New Year. A New Year? Wait a second. Oh, you're right. Hey, but you know what today is? You know what today is the day? You know, you guys psyched? You know what today is?
Today is Thursday the 4th?
Yes, but it's the first day ever to get legal weed in California.
Well, I think that was a couple days ago, but yeah, this is a big week, yeah.
No, but today's the day. Today's the first morning we can get it.
Well, I thought it was January 1st.
What's today?
Today's the 4th.
Oh, no. Yeah. It happened again.
The new year. But that's okay. You know, they're still selling
it. I know what happened.
What?
New Year's Eve, I chugged a punch bowl full of Mountain Dew Code Red with a ton of crushed up cat medicine I snaked from my aunt's condo.
Okay, that seems like a bad plan.
I just woke up.
Okay, you just woke up.
Is it Christmas Day? Fetch me that giant turkey, I'll get you half a crown.
It's not Christmas Day, Mole. It's January 4th.
What are you guys doing?
Well, Mole, I was just thinking that you're the person that legal weed is going to affect the least of anyone that I've ever met in California.
I know. You guys are both super money, dude. Do you guys want to invest in my potrapreneur business?
Your what business?
I'm a potrapreneur.
Potrapreneur.
I'm in just for the name.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's a pot food truck, but instead of food, it's pot.
Okay.
Like French fried potatoes with pot roast and a side of tacos. People are going to want tacos with all that pot.
I see. That's true.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So not everything has pot in it.
No, everything has pot in it. We can't lose. The federal government's staying out of it. We're free to do whatever we want.
I don't think that's completely accurate.
No, they're like, hey, do what you want. Obama said, leave them alone. We're going to do what we want.
Obama's not president anymore. But I think it is state by state. But you do have to do what California wants still, Mole.
Well, where the feds – oh, you know, how about this? How about this? If the feds change their mind, how about this? We all become FBI agents. Okay, we become FBI agents.
Okay.
We go rogue. Mm-hmm. We bust a bunch of pot places. We get all their weed. We hop in the pot food truck and drive to Hawaii.
Yeah, well, okay, you had me up until the drive to Hawaii, but I am in.
That's a long drive. Have you ever done that, Mole?
We'll switch off.
Switch off.
Oh, how about this? How about this?
All right.
We all just get baked, mm-hmm. and we line up to see Star Wars. It's opening Friday.
Well, no, The Last Jedi came out about 3 weeks ago.
That was
December. But that was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's the most recent Star Wars movie.
Dang it. Can someone help me program my iWatch?
Hey, ready for the bomb cyclone?
It's funny you should bring that up, Allie.
Oh.
Yes, Bean.
He has bomb cyclone fear.
Sure does.
I'm near the end of my life, as you guys know. So I
says
you know,
the healthiest man alive.
So it's not uncommon to look back and take stock of the choices that you made, and you know you get to a certain point where you realize, well, this is my lot in life, and this is the career that I've chosen, and this is the hill I'm going to die on. But in a different scenario, in an alternate universe where I had gone in a different direction, I think I would have enjoyed being a weatherman.
Okay.
I love maps.
You do love maps more than anyone.
And I love the weather. I love the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how fun would that be to be a weatherman, right? But then something like the bomb cyclone comes along. Do you know what it is, Kevin?
No.
Okay, great, because neither do I.
Okay.
And I've been trying to figure it out. Here's the definition of the bomb cyclone per Wikipedia.
I thought that was just a creative nickname that they had given it.
So did I.
Okay.
It is kind of – it's more officially known as a bombogenesis. But here's the paragraph.
Oh, that I know about.
Here's the paragraph that gets you started if you start looking into the bomb cyclone. Explosive cyclogenesis, also referred to as a weather bomb, a meteorological bomb, explosive development, or bombogenesis, refers in a strict sense to a rapidly deepening extratropical cyclonic low pressure area. To enter this category, the central pressure of a depression at 60 degrees latitude is required to decrease by 24 MB, and then in parentheses, HPA, or more in 24 hours.
I always thought it was 23 MB.
Did you? You were following that.
Yeah.
See, I was out, but you were following, thinking.
And I realized, I haven't been thinking straight the whole time.
Right.
I look at that sentence and I go, there's no way I ever could have been a weatherman because you got to be smart. And I still don't. And I watched a lot of news yesterday and I saw them talking about the bombogenesis. I still don't get what the number is that's dropping and why that makes is the gist, Allie, that it's creating a great deal of wind on top of snow? Is that what it is?
That it's basically a really strong nor'easter with heavier winds.
I don't know if you saw the guy that was had gotten in an accident. And then there were other cars coming in, and they would hit this black ice that no one could see. And they would just go. There was a 30-car pileup.
Oh, terrifying.
And he was just doing play-by-play. All right, here comes another one. And the guy would just – they would slide sideways into another car, and it just was one – it was
it's
so
unreal.
Slow. One after another, they just demolished each other.
I was in a friend's car during an ice storm in Washington, D.C. years ago, and we were crossing the George Washington Bridge, which, if I remember correctly, takes you from Virginia into the district. And it was a big wide bridge. Unfortunately, there weren't a lot of cars out because the conditions were so bad. And we just started sliding. And it seemed like my life flashed in front of me. It seemed like it took an hour to hit the other side of the bridge. But we just went across all four lanes of traffic in that car, and there's just nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, you try, like, brake hard. That doesn't work because you slip. Brake soft. That still doesn't work because you're slipping. Turn the wheel. Nothing works.
Nothing works. You just are sitting there like you're in a spacecraft, and it's out of your control. And at some point, you know you're going to hit that wall on the other side, and you just have to kind of brace yourself for it. They should call it the Bomb Diggity. I think it'd be popular if they called it the Bomb Diggity.
Now I think you should be a weatherman.
Agreed.
Because if you got on and started talking about the Bomb Diggity,
I mean,
I'd watch that.
Who can get angry at the Bomb Diggity?
Not me.
People
at
would
all.
Be like, that's so awesome that we're getting the Bomb Diggity.
Like, I totaled my car, but with a Bomb Diggity.
Right? Is that from the Bomb Diggity of 2018? Hell yeah, it is.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 849.
Hey, just ahead of Allie's What's Happening, I have a question for you guys, sincerely. I just read that the Powerball jackpot, no winner again last night, it's now up to $550
million. $550
million. Mega Millions right now is at $418 million.
Okay.
Why is it that I am now thinking of buying tickets?
Because when it gets to that level, then the news starts happening. They're down there interviewing the same five people. Like, what will you get if you win the Mega Millions? it's now in your face. So now, like, you never think about it until it becomes this big.
If it's $150 million, it's not in the news.
Yeah.
Do you think you would dismiss it if it was in the news and it was $150 million?
Yes, I think a lot of people would, which is pathetic. Yes.
That's what I'm trying to figure out is explain the psychology of that, because I see the billboards around town that have the numbers up, and a lot of times it's $100 million or something like that. Shouldn't that be – if I'm going to play the lottery, shouldn't $100 million be enough of an incentive to buy a ticket?
I don't know, but it's a dude, man.
But I don't.
But
it's a why?
Buck. It's only a buck. I'm saying it's a buck, dude.
I think Powerball is $2.
Oh, see?
For a play.
So $100 million? I don't know.
My point is, though, what is it? Like, why is $400 million now it's worth buying? Like, I would never. Yeah. Why would I be interested in $100 million? But at $400 million, now I'm in. $500 million, give me a ticket. It's just a weird psychology about that.
I don't know, but I feel like I have the same psychology.
I do, too. And I think people listening right now that buy tickets all the time are like, oh, shut up.
You guys are so stupid.
Losers.
Well, it is crazy to have almost $1 billion up for grabs between these two
now,
lotteries.
Now, can we buy both of these lotteries here in California?
I believe so, yeah. Uh-huh.
So one person could, in fact,
win the Powerball and the Mega.
Could.
Okay, yes.
I know the odds might be
we
a little
We should do a
long.
Segment on the odds. Tend to go well.
All right. Dr. Drew joins us talking about the man flu right after the top of the hour. First, though, 8:51. Allie, what's happening?
Well, CBS and the Recording Academy have announced the first group of artists that are going to perform at this year's milestone 60th annual Grammy Awards. You guys want to take any guesses?
Well,
Justin Bieber.
Nope.
I want Taylor Swift to perform on the show.
Well, obviously you do. And keep in mind, these are just the first round of people that they're announcing.
Are we right yet? No?
No.
Neither. Okay, good.
Jim Morrison.
No, he cannot make it this year, which is sad.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Kevin, can you think of no recording artists?
I mean, that would perform at the Grammys that are relevant enough to perform at the Grammys?
Think of one of the biggest artists
Bruno
in
Mars
the world
does
right
every
now.
Year.
Yeah, he's not on the list.
Okay.
Think of a lady. That might
Lady Gaga?
Yes, indeed. Lady Gaga is one.
Is she going to be singing somebody else's song as a duet with them? Or is she going to be performing her own song?
Wow, you are so judgy.
She's done that like 3 years in a row.
With like Tony Bennett, you mean? Or, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Wow.
Guns N' Roses?
What's happening right
now?
Just
sing with them? Right, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. So you would like Lady Gaga doing her own music?
Lady Gaga!
That is awful. You want her doing her own tunes?
I mean, I don't really care if she performs. Go ahead.
Current nominee, Pink. Also performing.
Okay.
And she always puts on huge, huge display. She does something amazing every year.
It's always acrobatic.
Absolutely. And I can't wait for this. Childish Gambino.
Oh, sweet.
What?
That's great.
And then just for Kevin, in light of the show's return to New York City after 15 years.
DeWeezil Zappa.
No. Close. Patti LuPone.
Dr. Boogie.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
Patti LuPone.
I don't know who that is.
She's a Broadway star. She's going to be doing her song from a lovely Broadway show, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. She'll be doing that.
Why is that happening?
Yeah.
Why is
and
that?
And then another Broadway star.
It's your turn this year to watch the Grammys and bring in highlights,
Ben Platt is going to be performing a song from West Side Story.
Why?
It's a tribute, to New York, that they're going to be back there after so long. And they're honoring the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber and Leonard Bernstein.
Okay.
You're so out.
I mean, on that segment, there does need to be a bathroom segment, and that would be it.
That would be it.
Or a refill the food segment.
Patti LuPone, by the way, is a legend. She's amazing.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She unfortunately passed away.
Oh.
Anyway, what happened to Tom Petty?
That guy has a lot of questions.
Same, actually, which is very sad. The host of the 60th Annual Grammy Awards?
Cato Kaelin.
He is not hosting.
No, that would be great.
He really would.
Ron Jeremy?
Nope.
Be less
Count
great.
Smokey Love?
That would be the best.
Dat Boy.
Nope. Well, to some people, he is Dat Boy. James Corden.
James Corden?
Yes.
Will be a great host.
Yes. He will be hosting the 60th Annual Grammy Awards, broadcasting live from Madison Square Garden in New York on Sunday, January the 28th.
That's a good host.
He's a great host.
Yeah. I like that.
I'm looking forward to that. We talked about it earlier, and Imagine Dragons frontman Dan Reynolds is now the subject of a new documentary called Believer, and it's going to have its world premiere later this month at the Sundance Film Festival and then debut later on this summer on HBO. And it chronicles him exploring his Mormon faith and how the church treats members of the LGBTQ community. Also going to focus on the suicide rate in that community, which has skyrocketed in the last decade. But I don't know if you guys knew this. He put on the first ever music festival in Orem, Utah, called the Love Loud Festival, to benefit organizations like GLAAD and the Trevor Project. So that's going to be part of the movie and kind of follow him through kind of this journey through his religion and what he believes and what he hopes to change and change people's minds. So
that sounds great.
It sounds wonderful. And premiering at Sundance. I mean,
I like that.
Oh, well, that's not bad, right?
Right.
Did you see this news yesterday, Bean?
What's that?
In New York?
We need a yes or a no, Bean.
Yeah.
can't really advise yet.
Chappaqua, New York. Chappaqua.
Okay. Oh, the Clinton fire?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fire at Hillary and Bill Clinton's property broke out just before 3 p.m. Don't worry. Extinguished by 3:17, but
sounds like the deep state to me.
Thank you. How many emails was she just firing up out there, getting rid of evidence, right, Hillary?
I think
I'm
she was
on
burning,
to you.
Burning down the pedophile pizza place.
That's
I'll tell you that.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely.
I don't know what you guys
she
are talking about.
She thinks she's slick, her in that deep state, her and Ellen DeGeneres.
After she killed Vince Foster, yeah.
At least him. Kevin's going to Google all of this and be like, what exactly is happening? And a really sad goodbye to somebody that we all know as WeHo Jesus. If you saw him at all, you'd know, you'd be like, that's Jesus. He looks just like him. His name is Kevin Short, and he was just this mainstay in Hollywood. You would see him walking up and down the boulevard, taking pictures with tourists. He had so many fans, like people that really genuinely looked forward to seeing.
What did he do? Was he just a take a picture with him guy?
As far as we know.
I could have asked that better. But...
I liked it, and I'm going with it. There's a lot of rumors. People say he was a manager of a property. Other people say, oh, no, no, no. He just took, you know, donations for pictures, blah, blah, blah. Nobody really knows. Hmm. But I do know that he was a mainstay, not only on the boulevard, but at the Comedy Store. He would constantly be out on that patio where you can have cocktails and food. Just hanging out with the comics there.
So he didn't
having
really stand
a great
up.
Time.
He was just nope. there hanging out.
Just from, by all accounts, just a kind, genuine man that just liked to dress like Jesus.
Jesus.
Like you do.
Jesus.
But he passed away at the age of 57. Apparently a very brief hospitalization and passed away on December the 13th.
I didn't know him, but I did see Stryker post a picture with him, and Nicole was talking about meeting him and liking him, and everybody seems to just love that dude.
Yeah, he was everywhere. If you didn't see WeHo Jesus on a weekend, what were you doing with your life?
I mean, I wasn't where he was, apparently.
I mean, that's one way to look at it.
Bad decisions.
One way to look at it, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Some stars born today. January the 4th, actress June Diane Raphael from Grace and Frankie, and also the podcast that she does with her husband, Paul Scheer, and Jason Mantzoukas, How Did This Get Made? June Diane Raphael, I adore her. Actor Dave Foley and R.E.M. singer Michael Stipe, and that's what's happening.
I knew it was worse when I got the flu than women. I knew it. I knew there was something to that.
You're buying into the man flu, are
yes.
you, Kevin?
Well, it's interesting you should bring that up. We'll get into that in a second. First, let's welcome for the first time in 2018 our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky back to the show. Hey, Doc.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Where were you on New Year's Eve, Dr. Drew? What'd you do for the big night?
We had a few people over, hung out, didn't do a hell of a lot, actually. But got up. Oh, here's the comedy. So, you know, the B-2 flies right over our house as it heads to the parade route every day.
Dr. Drew lives in Pasadena, real close to where the parade is,
oh,
right?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so we like going out and watching it because it's quite a sight. And I thought it was 8:15, and all of a sudden I hear this, like, here it comes. It's like the ground starts to shake when it approaches. And I looked out my bathroom window, and it just filled with this gigantic plane. And so there it was. That was my New Year's celebration right from my own
Wow.
Wow.
But then you continue with the swingers party.
That's right.
Well, listen, I'm glad you're on with us, Dr. Drew, because Kevin just brought up the man flu, which is something that it's been said as an excuse for why men are down so long when they get the flu or why they complain so much. And it's in the news right now because a doctor got tired of hearing about that and decided to do a little bit of research on it to try to figure out if men and women suffer the symptoms of a flu differently. And he came to a conclusion that, yes, men have a weaker immune response when it comes to common viral respiratory infections and the flu. I'm wondering if that makes any sense to you, or are people just people?
Well, a couple things. First of all, when Dave King of Mexico sent me that article you're referring to, I thought, well, this has something to do with Kevin.
How dare you, sir?
Something to do with Kevin. I just know it right away.
How dare you?
I smell Kevin. I know Kevin. So I thought, yeah, he's pretty whiny. He gets knocked down by things pretty easily. And men, we're big babies. It's true. We are. But the question is there really something unusual about our immune system? And it's pretty well known that testosterone is an immunosuppressive. And in this study, they did show that it seemed to suggest, at least, that men have more severe symptoms when it comes to two different conditions. Now, mind you, they're looking at two different things. They're looking at upper respiratory infection, which is sore throat, runny nose, cough, those kinds of things, those seasonal infections that we all get,
right,
versus influenza or flu-like syndromes where people get fever and prostration. And generally speaking, we are bigger babies when it comes to that. But
technically and scientifically now, we know that's not true.
Well, it's not necessary. Well, Kevin is a case of one. But if it isn't true, here's the deal. Testosterone, it's more complicated than all this. And some subsequent studies sort of called into question what this particular researcher was suggesting. And, you know, so let's say testosterone. It's an immunosuppressive. Well, does that mean our immune response to viral infections then is suppressed? Or does that mean it suppresses our ability to fight off viral infections, which are two very different things? Generally speaking, if immune response is down, our reaction to a flu actually should be less exuberant. That's different from saying, hey, we're more prone to getting these infections, which is an entirely different mechanism. So they really didn't parse that stuff
out. And I was wondering about that, too. Has anyone done a study to find out of 100 people, how many of them are going to get the flu and then break it down by percentage of by sex? I wonder, do more men get the flu than women or vice versa?
I don't think that that is the case. However, you can never really do those studies objectively, right? You couldn't take you guys and put you in a room and expose you to virus and say, who gets it? Let's see. I mean, they've done, believe it or not, they've done things like that through history. But let's just say this. Not everyone gets every infection every time they're exposed. But for the most part, when people are exposed sufficiently to an infecting agent, we kind of tend to get it. We do tend to get it. And the question is, are we more exuberant in our response? And generally, I think he's right. Men do have a different sort of response. And then when we look at women on the other side, they have a very specialized immune system in that they have to deal with a foreign body developing in their abdomen for 9 months, repeatedly many times. And that's a very special kind of immune system. And we know women are tougher generally overall, right, Allie?
Completely agree. But here's my point to that. If women supposedly do have a stronger immune system, wouldn't it then turn that a flu that can get through and break through that immune system would be even worse than any flu that would be considered a man flu?
Oh, I see how you're turning that.
Yeah,
you're twisting
what
that.
I did?
This is the sewer rat analogy.
I see that.
Words, yeah, which is if stuff that does get to us, it's going to be super strong.
Yeah.
And again, presuming all things being equal in terms of how we respond to those agents, bottom line, as you see, is you start to even get, we're getting still into just the superficial questions about these things. And even on a superficial level, it gets too complicated.
All right, here's really how it would help, Dr. Drew, yeah. Is that women do have babies and they're able to handle pain more. And they lord it over us guys because we couldn't do it, right? They tell us all the time, oh, you couldn't do it if you wanted to have a baby. And they're right.
Mm-hmm.
So give me the goddamn flu. Let me have that to argue back with.
Here's where I tuned...
I'm talking to Dr. Drew.
But here's where I tuned out in this article. It is the first sentence. Man flu is real, or so says one Canadian researcher who has, quote, tired of being accused of overreacting. That's the first sentence of this article. This researcher was like, I'm sick of people saying I'm overreacting. Yeah. I'm going to research this. Oh, it came out that I'm right.
Yeah, I didn't even read that far.
I put he and Kevin together. They love each other.
These
two are made for each other. All I read in that sentence was, I'm a baby.
I'm a baby, and let me just actually my way through this whole article.
Let me ask you one more thing before we let you go, Doc, and that is, what's the status of the flu shot this year? Some years they come out and they say it's extraordinarily effective. Some years it's not as good as others. What about this year?
Looking like it's not quite what we hoped for, but it's hard to say just yet. It does not mean you should not get it. By all means, please get it. I've seen a couple cases where I was convinced that they broke through the vaccine. They still got the flu in spite of the vaccine, and I don't... That's kind of unusual for me to see that. So I'm suspecting this year is going to be a bit of a disappointment.
So you would still say across the board, get the flu shot.
Yeah, except for Mike Catherwood.
Yes.
And what about you, Kevin? How'd you do with your flu shot?
I had the flu shot, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did you get the flu?
I did. I got the man flu. It was so much worse.
You know, just really a real quick aside, I learned something. I was podcasting with Corolla the other day. You mentioned the Canadian researcher. Do you know that the Prime Minister of Canada is as unpopular as Mr. Trump is here?
Is that right?
Canada. He's super. I thought he was the wonder candidate. Everybody loved him at first.
You learned that through Adam Carolla, you say.
So you're saying people in Canada are going, we're moving to America.
No, they're like, yes. It's weird. We thought he was lionized up there, but turns out he spends too much of their money.
Speaking of Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew does a podcast with Adam. He also does his own podcast and the Weekly Infusion podcast. You can find them all at his website, drdrew.com. Don't forget Heal.com. Download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play to have a doctor in the comfort of your own home. And hear Drew with Mike Catherwood, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. Happy New Year, Doc. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again soon.
Guys, Happy New Year.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That song, of course, being used for college football, which reminds me that Monday night is the championship game, and the halftime for that is Kendrick Lamar.
Damn.
Interesting,
really?
Right? See what
you
and
did
go
there?
Bulldogs, yeah. Right?
I am rooting for the Bulldogs.
I just hope there's no defense like last weekend.
Where there's 100 points scored.
Right. Exactly.
People are so mad about this matchup. Have you heard people?
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, because in their minds.
Because what's the team that beat them both and isn't in there? LHC? What is it? What's the team that everybody said should be in the championship that isn't?
FCU. Are you thinking about Auburn?
Florida Central University?
Is that it? Is that the one that's beat them both?
They were undefeated. I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. So I know there is.
You're thinking about Auburn and UCF beat them in the bowl game.
Is that what it was? There's controversy every year. Even though we now have a true college championship now, people are still upset at whoever gets seeded and whoever plays and who doesn't play.
Right.
It just it doesn't seem like it's ever going to make everybody happy.
My point is Kendrick Lamar.
I agree with that point.
And my point is Bulldogs are cute, so go Georgia.
My school made it to a bowl this year.
Did they?
Shocking. Yes. I can't tell you what bowl it was. It was some just budget bowl. And we lost. But, hey, good effort, Boston College, is what I'm saying.
Nice try this year?
Yeah.
Maybe next year?
Yeah, you never know.
All right.
It's 9:39 on a Thursday morning. Time for What's Happening. Here's Allie.
We talked about Coachella's lineup yesterday. So we knew if that lineup was out, we are going to begin the onslaught of
it is festival season.
Yeah, all the festival seasons. Lineups will be coming out. You've got Bonnaroo. You've got Lollapalooza. And then you've got the smaller festivals.
Which are plenty big, it turns out.
Plenty big, it turns out. We'll start off with 2018, the Governor's Ball Music Festival. This takes place in New York City on Randall's Island. Their headliners, Eminem, Jack White, Travis Scott, and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. They're also going to have Diplo and Mark Ronson debuting their new project, Silk City. Gaslight Anthem is going to be playing one of their whole albums from start to finish, as well as NERD is going to be on the bill for the first time in New York City since 2010.
All right.
Not a bad lineup for Randall's Island out there in New York, but this one was announced this morning, and holy hell, takes place May 25th through 27th, which, that's Memorial Day, yeah?
I think so.
I think it is. Well, that's a great time to get to Boston. For Boston Calling. Why, you may ask? Well, listen to this lineup.
Because most of the snow will be gone by then?
Most of the snow. Most of it. This is the lineup. The Killers, Eminem, Jack White, Queens of the Stone Age, Royal Blood, The National, Paramore, Portugal the Man, Fleet Foxes. Those are just some of the bands
that's
playing
crazy.
Boston
that's
Calling.
Pretty great. That's pretty great.
That's an insane lineup, and I feel like maybe we should go and broadcast from there.
I feel like that's necessary as well.
And you've never been to Boston?
Never been to Boston,
we
so I'd like to visit.
Do a bunch of content on you taking the duck tour.
I don't feel like that's necessary.
Oh, it's that it basically goes on the street, then it launches down into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you little, like, duck kazoos.
No, thank you.
Nope, I lost you there.
You lost me at the beginning of that.
All right.
Are there bars in Boston?
A few.
Okay.
A few,
I'm good.
I think of all people, you would love Boston just because of the young vibe.
That's what I've heard.
How many bars there are.
Yeah.
Such good food, and everything is so accessible.
But so many mass holes.
Right? So many
There's
mass holes.
There's a lot of that, though. That's the problem.
And you love racism.
I don't.
So you. Oh,
is
no?
that right?
Okay.
No, I don't. Really. No.
And Boston is shedding that whole thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Rob Lowe, how old do you think he is now?
He is around 55.
Is he that old?
Very close.
Because he looks 40.
Oh, right?
If.
Yeah. He is going to be 54 in March. But how does he stay so youthful? Remember when we had him on and I said, how are you Benjamin Buttonings your life? And he said, oh, well, I use this cream. And he started talking about what was his own line, essentially, of products that was going to be coming out. Never heard anything really after that, but People Magazine talked to him, and he said he follows the Atkins program because it's not a diet, just an overall lifestyle. He believes that eating well is the single biggest component to a healthy lifestyle.
Hear that, Muggs?
And then, as luck would have it, he's just been named the first male spokesperson for the Atkins diet.
What?
What?
What are the chances?
And the timing. Yeah. But seriously, if Rob Lowe is just shoveling bacon into his mouth and looking like that.
Look, the truth is 99% of that is DNA. He hit the DNA lottery.
Yeah.
The rest of us can't look like that with any diet.
Yeah. It's going to be 54 in March.
Son of a bitch.
What an asshole. Hey, if you were like Kevin and Beer Mug watching Bright over the holidays. Big Netflix movie that came out with Will Smith and Joel Edgerton, and you loved it. Kevin, you said that the movie was, quote, in focus. That was your review?
Well, yeah, it was in focus. It started great.
Uh-huh.
It ended sort of poorly.
Okay.
But you can't deny the fact that Will Smith and Joel Edgerton were amazing mm-hmm. and were better than the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know how occasionally that'll happen where the movie doesn't really hold up as well as certain actors. Mm-hmm. And they were really great in it.
Well, apparently it was the number one movie on Netflix in every single country and the highest viewed original film ever on the service. So they have decided they've picked up a sequel. So maybe they'll answer a lot of those questions you had about...
I think I'd give it another shot. I think I'd give it another shot. Because,
of course you would.
Because the acting is so good, all they have to fix is everything else.
That's it. Okay.
Except for the focus. That's also really good.
The focus. Uh-huh. They nailed that.
They nailed
absolutely.
The focus. Right.
Well, rumors are swirling that Cameron Diaz might be about to become a first-time mom. Sources tell Radar Online that she's expecting her first child with her husband, Benji Madden. Who remembered that they were together?
Not me.
No, they're pretty under the radar.
I love that. They're just not out there like other couples that just want to be in the spotlight all the time. So if Radar Online is right and she is pregnant, kudos. And if
how
they're
old is
not,
she, by the way, does it say?
It doesn't.
She's
got to
be in her 40s, I would think.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
Look it up. I'm surprised, and I shouldn't be these days, because obviously medical advances have made it possible for many women in their 40s to have children. It's not as rare
sure,
as
they're
it
early
once
to
was.
Mid, even.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it is unusual to see someone have their first baby that old.
45,
okay.
45. Right. And also in the best movie, The Holiday, if you guys want to watch that.
Right?
The Holiday?
Oh, The Holiday. Oh.
And I just want to read this. This is the service we get. Let me just read this to you, and you say, hey, this is a good service. We should continue using it.
Okay. They give us entertainment stories and whatnot? Okay.
Ladies, start your engines, because Brad Pitt is hitting the single scene. Sources tell New York's Page Six gossip column that the golden boy got chatty with the blonde at a Los Angeles coffee shop, then introduced himself as William. The lucky lady mentioned... You look more like a Bradley. But Brad explained that's his middle name, and he rode off on his trusty bike. What?
Never read from that source again.
That's... No!
And if it's true, why would Brad Pitt try and pass him off to someone else?
Nope, it's William. I'm definitely not Brad Pitt. And if you missed it a couple hours ago, huge news for people that love great television like me. Shonda Rhimes has confirmed via social media Wednesday that she's planning a crossover of How to Get Away with Murder and Scandal.
Now... I know that they do crossovers with some of the superhero shows on CW.
Right.
They do some with, like, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire.
Sure.
Some of those that make sense. Does this make sense, these two?
It, I believe, will make sense with Annalise Keating from How to Get Away with Murder. Viola Davis.
Mm-hmm.
She's done some real shady stuff in her past. She might need someone like, say, an Olivia Pope to come in and say... It's handled.
I got you.
I feel like she's going to come in, save the day, and Scandal's done in April. So this crossover is supposed to be around mid-March. So
does that mean Viola Davis joins Scandal? Or whichever one's not stopping?
Scandal is stopping.
Okay.
So
does that
no.
mean the woman from Scandal joins?
Or, because I just said she's done some shady stuff, does she kill Olivia Pope? Kevin!
You just made that up in your head.
But what if?
Right, but we have no sign that that's true.
What if?
Okay.
All right.
What if?
Bean, what do you think? You like both those shows, but you kind of dropped off, right?
Well, I'll tell you that Scandal has become a parody of itself.
How
it's
dare
so
you? How
crazy
dare you?
Over the top now. It's almost like you're watching actors make fun of Scandal. It's time for that show to go. But I still love Shonda, and I love her writing, and I think that she'll find some interesting way that will make sense. I don't think it'll feel like it's jammed in.
Just waiting for it. All right. All these stars born today. January the 4th. June Diane, Raphael, Dave Foley, and R.E.M. singer Michael Stipe. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal. Tomorrow morning on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean show, we talk to R.J. Bell from Las Vegas about the Rams in the NFL playoffs.
Yes.
We've also got Keep It 100 because it's Friday. And Clark Gregg joins us in studio to talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tomorrow morning.